And now Helen is going to read the Old Testament.
The Old Testament lesson is from Psalm 118. We're reading verses 1 and 2 and then 19 to 29. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvellous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his steadfast love endures forever. Amen.
And Joan will now do the New Testament reading.
The reading is from St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. As they approached Jerusalem, near the towns of Bethphage and Bethany, they came to the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of his disciples on ahead with these instructions. Go to the village there ahead of you. As soon as you get there, you will find a colt tied up that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if someone asks you why you are doing that, tell them that the master needs it and will send it back at once. So they went and found a colt out in the street, tied to the door of a house. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders asked them, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered just as Jesus had told them, and the men let them go. They brought the colt to Jesus, threw their cloaks over the animal, and Jesus got on. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches in the fields and spread them on the road. The people who were in front and those who followed behind began to shout, "Praise God! God bless them! God bless him who comes in the name of the Lord! God bless the coming kingdom of King David our Father! Praise God!" Jesus entered Jerusalem, went into the temple, and looked round at everything. But since it was already late in the day, he went out to Bethany with the 12 disciples.
Elaine, bless her, and I hope that she's getting improving. But she had prepared so well for this morning service. And the next section that she had prepared, she's taken from this book, which is The Word in the Wilderness, A Poem a Day for Lent and Easter, by someone called Malcolm Goot. And so Chris and I are going to share three poems and reflections that Elaine has identified. And the poems are almost as if the person in the poem was someone there on the day. And so it reflects in that sort of way. So Holy Week is perhaps its own season, quite distinct from Lent. The week for which Lent is preparing us and towards which it is pointing. So we have come to the end and the edge of a wilderness journey, out beyond Jordan and back again. And now we find ourselves standing with another crowd of pilgrims, all preparing on Palm Sunday to enter Jerusalem. And now at the gate of my Jerusalem, the seething holy city of my heart, the Saviour comes, but will I welcome him? Oh, crowds of easy feelings make a start. They raise their hands, they get caught up in the singing, and they think that the battle is won. Too soon, they'll find the challenge, the reversal he is bringing changes to their tune. I know what lies behind the surface flourish that so quickly fades. The self-interest, fearful guardedness, the hardness of heart, its barricades, and at the core, the dreadful emptiness of a perverted temple. Jesus, come, break my resistance and make me your home.
Jesus weeps. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19 and verse 41. As he came near and saw the city, he wept over it. It's hard to see through tears, but sometimes it's the only way to see. Tears can be the turning point, the springs of renewal. To know you have been wept for is to know that you are loved. I have a God who knows what it is to weep and who weeps for me, weeps with me, and understands to the depths. Jesus comes near and he beholds the city and looks on us with tears in his eyes and wells of mercy, streams of love and pity flow from the fountain whence all things arise. He loved us into life and longs to gather and meet with his beloved face to face. How often has he called, a careful mother, and wept for our refusals of his grace, wept for a world that, weary with its weeping, benumbed and stumbling, turns the other way. Fatigued compassion is already sleeping, whilst her worst nightmares stalk the light of day. But we might waken yet and face those fears if we could see ourselves through Jesus' tears.
And the third reflection is reflecting on the cleansing of the temple. Come to your temple here with liberation and overturn these tables of exchange. Restore in me my lost imagination. Bring in me for good the pure change. Come as you came, an infant with your mother, that innocence may cleanse and claim this ground. Come as you came, a boy who sought his father, with questions asked and certain answers found. Come as you came this day, a man of anger. Unleash the lash that drives a pathway through. Face down for me the fear, the shame, the danger. Teach me again to whom my love is due. Break down in me the barricades of death and tear the veil in two with your last breath. Now, when Solomon dedicated the temple, he rightly declared that not even the heaven of heavens could contain Almighty God, much less this temple that was made of hands. And yet, God himself still comes into the temple. He came as a baby, the essence of all life, light, and purity in human flesh. He came as a young boy, full of questions, seeking to know his father's will. And today, he came with righteous anger to clear away the blasphemous barriers that human power games try to throw up between God and the world he loves. And finally, by his death on the cross, he took away the last barrier in the temple and in our hearts, the veil that stood between us and the Holy of Holies, the very presence of God in us and beyond us.
And cloaks feature so strongly in Palm Sunday traditions. And as Elaine has written on the back of the cloak as it was set aside at the beginning of the service. What better example of status symbol than the coat of many colours given to Joseph by his father Jesse in the Old Testament Bible? And this is a narrative as someone who was actually there on Palm Sunday. And then there was that day. I was in Jerusalem for the Passover. The place was packed, heaving with humanity and expectation. Suddenly the cry went up, "He's coming, he's coming." I grabbed somebody as they raced by. "It's Jesus," they said as they squirmed to get away. "He's coming into the city. He's riding on a donkey. This is it." They raced away and I followed. As I got outside of the city, I could see a crowd gathering. There was noise and dust everywhere. The sound of singing, cries and shouts of excitement. And then there he was, sitting astride a donkey. He looked, well, it's difficult to put into words, really. After all, I hadn't seen him before. But I just knew it had to be him. Quiet amidst the noise and the clamour, a look of determination and deep thought etched into his features. And I found myself doing what others were doing. I took off my cloak and spread it on the ground as he went by. It's an important thing in our society, your cloak. It's a status symbol, a sign of who you are. Some of them richly woven, others more basic. A deep sign of your place in life. And I took it off and laid it in the dust for the feet of a donkey to walk over it. My friends quizzed me about it afterwards. What on earth were you doing, they said. That thing cost a lot of money, and now look at it. You'll never be able to wear it again. But I had to do it. Don't you see? In that moment, I had to do something. Show what this moment meant to me. I had to give Jesus his proper place. At that moment, as the crowd cheered and I looked into the eyes of this man, I was lost in wonder, love, and praise. And I had to show that, acknowledge that fact. So I took off my cloak, this symbol of who I am and my status, and I laid it at his feet. And I'll take off my coat and put it at the front.
And now the prayers of intercession. Let us pray. Loving God, giver of every good gift, we pray that we might be thankful people. We pray for those with power and influence in our country and in the world, asking that they may be thankful for the opportunities their positions given them, and that they may show their gratitude by fulfilling their responsibilities conscientiously and with wisdom, justice, and compassion. And just in this few minutes of silence, we'll just think of the leaders that are in the news at the present.